This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Now, tonight, that this can get done. Tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN television, it's a SportsCenter special, the return of sports hosted by our good buddy, friend of the show, and of course, maybe the face of ESPN, Mike Greenberg. Greedy's going to speak with six commissioners: Roger Goodell, Rob Manfred, Adam Silver, Gary Bettman, as well as several prominent athletes, as we inch closer to the return of team sports in our lives. See what's going through the minds of those involved. 9 o'clock tonight, ESPN television, and you can watch it as well on the ESPN app. Rick, I know typically you're an early bedtime guy, but I think you might have to push the limits tonight.
Yeah, listen, you know how much I love Greeny, and this is going to be an amazing special. So yeah, I mean, this could be, I'm not going to give away what happened yesterday, but yeah, this could be definitely an impetus for me to stay up a little bit later than usual.
Yeah, and Chris, you're a guy that actually can stay awake to a normal time. You'll, of course, be watching this tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'll be locked and loaded on this, Dave. 9 o'clock?
Yep, 9 o'clock,
that's
ESPN.
It.
I like how they're like, and some special guests. Like, you have all the major commissioners. What? I mean, special guests on top of that? It's exciting to think what we're going to have tonight.
I can't. I'm looking forward to it, Dave. I mean, what do you want me to say? This is going to be awesome. I mean, yeah. I can't wait to hear on their perspectives on what's going on and the return to play amidst everything that's going on in the country. I think it's going to be tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many difficult topics to get into, right? You got to get into the racial situations going on in this country. Black Lives Matter. Adam Silver, of course, is going to be, I'm sure, peppered with questions about that because it's such on the forefront of the NBA. And then, you know, we heard from John Harbaugh last week with, and it's going to be impossible to socially distance. I mean, COVID's such a big thing. This should be really terrific. And then Rob Manfred should probably just say nothing the way baseball is moving right now. I mean, it's really unbelievable. And let's get into it, guys. I mean, I can't believe it. There's this report on Saturday, I guess it was, from Andrew Marchand that Turner and Major League Baseball signed some new record-breaking extension. I think it's like $500 million a year. The owners want to play 48 or 50 games. And I guess the players, Rick, are so fed up with this whole thing that they're just like, you know what? Just tell us when and where, and we don't need to negotiate anymore. This is really bad for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it is bad, Dave. I don't know where they're going to go from here. I told you guys that it didn't feel like the players were willing to accept anything less than their prorated salaries last week. And Jeff Passan and everybody else reporting on this has said that's the hill that the players are going to die on. And even though the owners moved to have that 72-game proposal with 70% of the prorated pay for the players, I just don't think that was going to be something that the players would agree to. And clearly by Tony Clark releasing that statement over the weekend that they're ready to just get on with the business of baseball. But ultimately, this fight is not over because we know that both sides are going to go to court to try to resolve this grievance on whether or not the sides negotiated in good faith and baseball played the longest possible season under the circumstances. So I think that this is just going to continue to get uglier. But the one thing that we can say that's going to come out of this is we should have a definitive date as to when we're going to see baseball some point this week.
I just don't understand who wins in this situation.
Certainly not us.
No, we don't, but they don't care about us. I mean, let's stop pretending like this is about, you know, a welcome distraction and for the mental well-being of the country. It's not. It's about money. But I mean, even in saying that, is the money that you save this year as owners, is that worth the long-term ramifications in that are going to go against your sport?
In their mind, it seems like it is.
But how would you even know that? Like, I mean, you have no idea what next season is going to look like. I mean, how much, you know, your ability to actually have fans in seats, who knows? No one has any idea yet. On top of that, I mean, have you done irreparable damage with your fan base? All the people that you thought you could, you know, all the people on the periphery that weren't necessarily huge baseball fans because you were the first sport back, because you, you know, now have, you know, this sprint to the finish. And I don't even care if it was just 82 games. That's still a sprint compared to 162. You play 82. You have 16 playoff teams. That's a new format that people, I think, would like. You got players mic'd up and everything else. So now all of a sudden, maybe the universal DH, now you get some, you know, some of the people that kind of were soured on the sport or just weren't that into it. Now they're watching it, so they're into it. You're just going to throw all that away? Does that make much sense? Does that make much sense to me?
None of it makes sense. It's disgusting. I'm so fed up with baseball here. And you know what? And I really feel, guys, and we talk about this all the time, I really feel like there's kind of a groundswell of people that are taking the sides of the players, looking at how much money the owners have and how defiant they're being in their offers to the players here. It feels like there's almost nothing more that the players can negotiate. And Tony Clark has pretty much waved the white flag, Chris. He said, I there's nothing more I can do. We're done. Just tell us when and where we should show up.
Well, there's no reason to continue to go back and forth, Dave, especially in the court of public opinion, because it's not productive. Like, it's not going to bring the two sides any closer. So we might as well move forward with Rob Manfred unilaterally imposing a schedule and then getting to the business of playing baseball games. Because that's all anybody really cares about. They want to see baseball. They want to see the guys back out on the diamond doing what they do best. And so I guess the back and forth has soured a lot of people just based on what we're going through in this country right now, especially with the economics of it. And so I think that right now Tony Clark is recognizing that the best thing that we can do is to set a date so my guys know what to expect and they can know when they're expected to report. And when we're going to actually see regular season games played this year. I think that's the best move, but we all recognize that the MLBPA probably intends on taking the owners to court and filing that grievance because they don't feel like the owners did everything that they could at the negotiating table to play as long a season as they possibly could.
See, but that's what aggravates me, and that's what kind of pisses me off, to be completely honest, is this was not the time or the situation to be negotiating with through the public. This is not the time to be doing it. This is not the time to be, you know, sending emails back and forth or leaking deals to the media. This is not the time to be doing that. Get on a Zoom call or whatever it is and figure out a way. If you really want to get this done, figure out a way to actually negotiate. This was not negotiating.
I don't think the owners really want to get it done, to be honest with you. I think the owners want to drag this along until it's like, well, the most we can play is 50 games now.
Yeah,
oh,
but
you
Dave,
know what? That's convenient for us.
But Dave, we said this the entire time. It's one thing to play chicken, but there's another. I mean, you get to a point now where you're playing a dangerous game because now it's become adversarial to the point where it's going to be hard enough. Even if you made a deal with the safety protocols and everything else, you're talking about travel, flying, getting players to agree to this stuff, testing and everything. It was going to be hard enough. Now, all of a sudden, you made it adversarial. Players don't buy in. You force a whatever it ends up being, 50-game schedule down their throat. Now you leave, I mean, a lot of these players that are financially sound, the guys you want to see, with the decision. Do I need to play this year for 50 games? I don't. Or do I have, you know, air quotations, health concerns about coming back? I mean, it was going to be hard enough if you came to a deal that both sides agreed to, let alone now, when the players have completely decided, they completely soured on the owners, period.
And Rick,
it's only
going to
be more difficult.
And Rick, to your point, if you don't have the star players deciding that it's worth it to come back and play this year, then that's to the detriment of your sport. And if you're an owner of one of these teams, that doesn't help you in terms of being able to build the game and grow the game and improve the valuation on your club. So I just think that the owners and the players both looked at this as the prelude to the CBA negotiations that would happen in 2021. But I think that they should have done a better job of recognizing that this is something that needs to be isolated, and this is something that's an anomaly, and you have to try to find the best way to partner together in order to move forward. And both of them just seemed oblivious to what's going on in this country. And now you're at a point where a lot of fans that are baseball diehards have been turned off by what you've done in negotiating publicly with your sport.
I think the baseball diehard stays no matter what. I do. I'm going to watch. I get a tweet from Mike Gross who says, I'm going to be back because baseball's my number one. But I can see this losing a lot of fans, and they have no one to blame but themselves. The diehard's going to watch. Rick, you're going to watch. Chris, you're going to watch. I mean, it's what we do. It's in our DNA. We're not going to go anywhere. But I got to tell you, that second-tier fan who likes baseball but likes basketball and is interested in hockey, I think you might start to lose some of that. And he's right when he tweets to me. They have no one to blame but themselves. They have handled this as poorly as humanly possible right now.
Yeah, I don't know how they fixed it or how they recovered, Dave. I have no idea. I mean, I guess they just move forward with the business of playing games, and then we'll see how everything plays out in court. But in terms of being able to, you know, put on a good face for your sport or to try to bring in new fans, you know, the sports fan that was maybe on the fringe with baseball in terms of trying to make him a bigger fan, to have him more engaged. They missed that opportunity.
And it's such an opportunity, Chris.
That has been long gone now.
You shouldn't really leave your house, right? This.
Yep.
I mean, that's what everyone is telling you. I mean, you can leave a little bit. You can socially distance a little bit. You can you start to play youth sports a little bit. But for the most part, the safest thing to do is stay in your home. You have such an opportunity. If you would have gotten a deal done, you could have been the first sport to have come back, and you could have had all of sports to yourself for a couple of weeks. And instead, they're going to be the last sport, and it's going to come back contentious, and it's really an unattractive look for baseball. I can't tell you how annoyed I am right now.
No, you should be annoyed, Dave, because they're talking about money. They're talking about hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, and the average baseball fan can't relate to that, especially knowing that over 30 million Americans are unemployed right now. People are going through hard times financially. The last thing they want to hear is millionaires fighting with billionaires over billions of dollars. Like, they do not want to hear that. So the fact that the owners made it as public as they did, I just feel like they did that to their own detriment. Like, this is not going to help them in the long run. Sure, it might lead to short-term gains, but that's incredibly short-sighted. And to me, this is a situation where you shouldn't be focused on short-term gains or whatever greed that you might have. You shouldn't be focused on trying to be an opportunist in the middle of a pandemic and civil unrest. What you should be focused on is how you can get to a point with the players to bring the game back as quickly as you possibly can, to try to be a part of the healing process in this country on so many different fronts.
Yep. All right. Part of that, and our next guest is the best, because Mike Greenberg joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. He's going to be talking with the baseball commissioner, the NBA commissioner, NFL commissioner, all big names in sports. That's tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN. What's up, Greeny? How you doing?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So we're really excited about this show tonight. Walk us through a little bit of how it's going to play out, some of the ideas that you have of lines of questioning, and just kind of an overview of the event and how this came to pass as well.
Sure. Well, the idea actually came up about a month ago to do something like this, and the entirety of it was conceived around the return to sports in the midst of the pandemic and all of the specific challenges that arise from that, and we thought we would interview the commissioners and just find out what everyone's plan is. And that was going to be an hour-long special. And then obviously in the last few weeks, as the events in this country have unfolded and the conversation has turned so much to the issues of social justice and racial inequality and how important that is, particularly amongst the sports community, it became evident to us that we couldn't do a show like this without addressing that and making it a vital part of the special. So it went from being 1 hour to 2 hours. And now we have a total of 16 guests. So we have the commissioners from six different sports, including, as you mentioned, Goodell and Silver and Manfred and others, Gary Bettman. We have athletes from almost every one of the sports, including Damian Lillard, who I'm taping in just a little while here, and Calais Campbell from the NFL, Matt Ryan I taped yesterday, several other athletes. And then we will also have Dr. Jennifer Ashton, who is ABC's chief medical correspondent, answering questions that we got from fans about safety relative to the coronavirus. So answering questions like, when do you think it's safe for fans to go back to stadiums and arenas and sit shoulder to shoulder and watch these games? So if you're a sports fan and you are interested in all of the events that are circling around our community of sports, I think we'll have a lot of answers tonight over the course of 2 hours.
Greeny, I think the biggest question, and I'm sure at some point during the course of this interview, we'll ask you about, you know, what's going on in the NBA, but we've been back and forth over the last couple of weeks with Major League Baseball, and you'll have Rob Manfred on tonight. I mean, can you believe that we're at this point with Major League Baseball?
You know, honestly, I can't, and that maybe demonstrates my total naivete. And look, guys, I was there in 94. I was covering the league when they called off the World Series. I was in spring training covering the replacement players in 95. So I've seen this sport through the absolute worst of its labor bickering. But to be honest with you, I thought they had turned a page from that. I really believed that the lessons learned from that had stuck. And to some degree, they would come out of it with a greater degree of partnership than they are showing now. And what we have find now, what we find now is that the total distrust on the part of the players for the owners in that sport are creating problems that transcend even a pandemic. And you would say to yourself, how could anyone be tone deaf enough to be complaining about how many millions of dollars they are or aren't going to get paid to play a game at a time when we have depression era level unemployment in this country? But the reality is That's not their primary concern. Their concern is their circumstance. And I understand that to some degree. I find it extremely unsightly, but this is their reality. So the answer to your question, Rick, is yes, I'm surprised, because I would have thought that they would at least have the sense to keep all of this as quiet as they can rather than litigating it in the public. But maybe if we just look at the history of baseball, this is something we should have seen coming.
Granny, you mentioned that you were covering the sport during the work stoppage in the mid-90s, but we had last night the 30 for 30 with the Maguire-Sosa home run chase in 98 that essentially brought the sport back and brought in a lot of sports fans that might not necessarily have been baseball fans. They re-engaged them to the sport. I mean, based on what we've seen happen this past summer with baseball making this ugly negotiation in the court of public opinion, do you think that they've done irreparable damage to the sport moving forward?
I don't, and here's the reason why. Because I think they're going to go largely ignored, assuming they do come back and play at all, which I believe they will. They had an opportunity to be the first of the major sports back on the field. They had an opportunity to, even if you, listen, I'm a big believer in lie to me every now and again. Just tell me that you recognize the civic responsibility and the place in the fabric of the national culture that baseball occupies, has historically occupied as the sport that Franklin Delano Roosevelt asked to be continued during World War II because it was important for national spirit. Reflect that and say we wanted to be the first back on the field to provide Americans with some of the entertainment and sports that they're starving for during this pandemic. That was an opportunity. They've squandered that already. The reality is when they come back, the NBA is going to have come back. Golf has already come back. I just interviewed Don Garber. Major League Soccer is going to come back with a World Cup-style tournament that certainly won't take all of the attention away, but will take some attention and I think has a chance to wind up being something that gets some attention because of the way they've structured this. I think Major League Baseball has already squandered the opportunity to sort of ride in on the white horse and be the heroes here. Now they just need to salvage something. Assuming they do get some semblance of a season out there, I think people will pay less attention to it than normal because they're not usually competing with the NBA finals during their playoffs or during the meat of their season. And then football will start in the fall, assuming all that happens, and they will get largely buried under that. So I think it has been a massive missed opportunity for baseball. But so long as they come back and play, I don't think it will do the kind of harm to them that 94 did.
Mike Greenberg, Greeny, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN tonight. Big show, 9 o'clock, ESPN television, ESPN app, the return of sports, and it's got, you know, major commissioners, major athletes all across the board. Is there a college sports component tonight, Greeny? Because that, to me, feels like it's so polarizing. You have Ohio State saying, you know, we could have half a full stadium, and Michigan coming out and saying, we might not play at all. It feels to me like there's such a wide gap in college sports especially.
I totally agree, and that's the reason there isn't, because that requires its own special. We talked that through when we first started conceiving this, and the reality is if you include that, we decided to limit it to the professional sports, because if you include that, that takes you in so many different directions that don't apply anywhere else. See, many of the concerns that exist for all of these professional sports leagues are universal. The themes are similar amongst all of them. In college, they're dealing with a whole other set of issues. And it would have just been such an enormous left turn that we just decided literally it requires its own special, and hopefully someone will do one. I'd love to do one. I think that one should be done. But there will not be any of that tonight, Dave, specifically because there's just too much there. None of it was applicable to any of the other – many of the questions I'm asking Roger, I'll also be asking Adam, and I'll also be asking – I also asked Commissioner Engelbert yesterday of the WNBA. A lot of the things are universal. The college stuff is so unique. Someone should do a special just on that.
Mike Greenberg joins us here on the show. Greeny, what are your thoughts on what's going on with the NBA? Put COVID aside and the bubble and everything else, but now with Kyrie coming out and then Dwight Howard coming out, what do you think that the NBA returning back to play would distract from what's going on with the protests?
My personal opinion is that it would not. And I saw Dwight Howard's quote was that as beautiful as winning a championship would be, that creating I don't want to misquote him here, something to the effect of creating racial unity and harmony would be all the more beautiful. And I don't disagree with that, obviously. But what I would say is that I don't believe they're mutually exclusive. And one of the things that I think people have a tendency to do, it probably isn't a good idea, but it is to imagine what I think I would do if I were in a similar circumstance. And I think my thinking would be the time when there is the most attention on me is when I am playing. These players have this extraordinary platform because they are very famous people, and they're very famous people because they are the best basketball players in the world. And thus a lot of people are interested in watching them play, and thus will be exposed to the things they say that are otherwise much easier to ignore. So I think it is imperative, and I will talk to Adam Silver about this later today, and Michelle Roberts is the absolute perfect person to be leading this for the NBA players. I don't know how well you guys know her, but I've had the opportunity to go to her office and spend some time with her, and she is one of the smartest and toughest people you will ever come across. And I think that I would view this as an opportunity for the NBA, which is one of the biggest and most visible business entities in the world, to put all of its might behind a movement that is of paramount importance to so many of its players. And so that's, I believe, the way I would see it, and that is the way I see it from where I am. I certainly respect other people's who see it differently. But I think were I in a similar circumstance, I think that's the way I would view it.
And that's interesting, Greeny, because I heard Stephen A. and Jay Williams on Get Up With You this morning express that same viewpoint. And I guess my question or pushback to that would be, I think there is some merit to Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving's concern, given that we've been talking about the return to play for the last couple of months and saying how it would be a welcome distraction from what we're dealing with the pandemic and COVID-19. We didn't anticipate what was going to happen over the last 3 weeks happen, but couldn't you make an argument to say that, yes, if you do have a return to play, that it would take attention away from the Black Lives Matter movement, and beyond that, the symbolism of the players returning to play and how that could affect the level of urgency that we should have with addressing the issues that the players are advocating for?
I completely understand that way of looking at it. Here's the first thing I would say. We needed a distraction from COVID. We do not need a distraction from the Black Lives Matter movement. We need it amplified. Mm-hmm. Stephen A. made the point on our program this morning that the time for talking is done. And this is something I've tried to raise with many of my guests over the course of the last month, which is, what concrete action takes place? What comes from this? Protest is not a goal. It is a means to an end. And what is the end game? And Stephen A. brought up a variety of legislation that he believes he would like to see. And that obviously, I believe, is where this ultimately has to go. And I believe, and I certainly understand that intelligent minds can differ on this, I believe that the opportunity to amplify that message is greater if the players are playing, because that can be done during games. It can be done during the playing of the national anthem before games. It can be done in various other forms of demonstration that can take place in and around NBA games, where there will be more attention to it. It is much easier now to just turn off CNN or whatever channel it is you want. But if you're a sports fan, you're going to watch the games, and you will be exposed to this message in ways that you otherwise might not. So while I certainly understand that reasonable minds can see it differently, that's the way I would view it, that from the coronavirus, we were looking at sports as an opportunity to come back and distract us from what was and remains a really challenging time. This movement, which is unlike anything I'm 52 years old, and I've never lived through anything this powerful or that felt like it had this ability, this much potential to create meaningful and consequential change in our society that is long overdue. Obviously, we do not need a distraction from that. I think that the NBA and all sports can amplify that message. And I will tell you that in the interviews that I've done with a variety of athletes, including Alejandro Bedoya from the Major League Soccer yesterday, who did the interview wearing a More Than an Athlete t-shirt and talked about this at great length, and many of the athletes that we've talked about here, Matt Ryan talking about a GoFundMe that he has started in Atlanta to aid with various causes that benefit the Black community in the city of Atlanta, that is now, as of last check, had raised over $1.25 million. That's meaningful change that will actually do some good. I personally believe that we can do both of those at the same time, and we can use the opportunity to focus people's attention on the problems and on real solutions. Again, if people view it differently, I certainly respect that opinion. But for the moment, that is the way I look at it. My mind is open to it being changed.
All right, Greeny, we know you got to run. We could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, and we will have you on again, certainly. Have a great show tonight. We'll be tuning in at 9 o'clock on ESPN.
Thank you. I'm sorry I have another interview that I have to take.
No, we get it.
I'd love to chat more. You know, I love the show, and this is the kind of conversation I'd love to have. I usually am facilitating it, and there are a lot of things I frequently don't get a chance to say. So we'll do this another time and talk about all of this stuff. So thank you, guys.
Of course, and we appreciate it. And do well tonight. We know you will. Good stuff. That, of course, is Mike Greenberg. He's the best and always makes time. And that's this is a big stage, and this is a big show tonight. I mean, you know, you have all the major commissioners going to be on. Goodell is going to go in one direction. Manfred, I mean, I wonder, Rick, if he just asks Manfred about the fans and how disheartened they are right now. And if that's, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure Manfred will play the company line. But, I mean, people are so angry around the game of baseball right now.
No, it's understandable, too. I mean, because
yeah,
this,
course.
I mean, the entire time never felt like a legitimate negotiation. I mean, they'll try to sell it as that because they know they're going to get, you know, taken to court by the players union. I mean, the players just want their juice, Dave. I mean, you saw that from Andrew McCutchen. They just want the juice that you promised them. And they're trying to give them water in different cups.
That was a hilarious video,
frustration.
By the way. That was a great video, by the way.
You know who I'm aggravated at? To be completely honest, it's not the owners. It's not the players. I'll tell you exactly who I'm most angry with. It's the lawyers that came up with that March 26th agreement. Like, you're paying these lawyers big-time money.
Mm-hmm.
How do you come away with that with this much ambiguity in what we thought was an agreement? Like, how can they – and you can't hash that out? Like,
no,
here's
they
what's
can't
happening.
Figure it out.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you got to get better lawyers.
But here's the other part of that. You're absolutely right about that, Rick. But here's the other part of that, though. For the owners, it feels a little disingenuous to come to that agreement and say we need to revisit negotiations if we're not going to have fans in stands, when the reality at that time was you weren't going to have fans in stands anytime soon. So, I mean, I don't understand the expectations of the owners going into that agreement with the players in late March if they knew that it would be so much of a financial hindrance for them to move forward with a season that would be longer than 50 games. That's the part of it that I don't get.
Well, I don't think anyone understands how we got to this point. I will say this, though. I know we have to go to a break. Is Tony Clark should be real concerned with how this thing has turned out and how that March 26th agreement turned out. There's no excuse for that. I mean, that agreement should be set in stone. Like, there should be no, like, you sat down, you had your lawyers look over this stuff. It should be in writing, 82 games, fully prorated, regardless of if there's fans. Because you knew at the time, the chances of you having fans in seats was virtually zero. Like, why would you leave yourself open to that? It makes no sense at all.
None. It's been handled poorly from the jump. And now here we are, June 15th. And we still have no idea. But it feels like we're going to be pushed into a 50-game season when you probably could have had more. And, of course, typically, like we see happen, the players will be unhappy, the owners will be unhappy, and the fans lose big time.
Yeah, but you just keep saying probably. That may be what happens. But that doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing.
I don't think it's going to be smooth sailing.
I mean,
they can choose to be forced into doing.
Okay, yeah, but that – which players? Who are you going to force? Which players – I mean, you tell me. There's enough. I mean, there's enough reason just with the health protocol to not return,
which is what they should have been about the entire time.
Well, because originally they were upset about that. Remember when that document first came out? You know, you're going to show up at the ballpark fully dressed, no showers, like all the different things. I mean, there was a ton of stuff in that document that players were like, whoa, 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 no, we're not agreeing to this. And then all of a sudden, it became about the money. So now, if you can't come to an agreement about the money, and you try to force feed them 50 games. Do you think they're going to bend over backwards to make this easy on Major League Baseball?
No, I don't.
They'll find every single reason why they won't show up. Not to mention the fact that this is not safer than the original plans.
No. The safer thing is to lock away. And now they're going to have people traveling and teams traveling?
Like,
makes no sense.
But Dave, in order for this to work with any sport outside of, and I feel dirty even mentioning it because it feels dirty, the Buckeye Pledge, which seems ridiculous to me. I hope we talk about that. Feels disgusting. Is you're going to need full participation. Like, the players are going to have, you know, be flexible with what they're willing to do to make this thing work. This is going to be both sides. Like, for the NHL to come back with what those guys are dealing with, for the NBA to be stuck in a bubble, you know, 7 weeks without your families and everything else, the testing included, you know, staying in one area, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot to ask out of the players. Like, you're going to need them, like, fully invested in this plan.
Of course.
To buy in. There's no, I mean, baseball players are completely tapped out. They have no interest.
No. They're going to go through the motions. It's a bad situation.
Like, who's to say, like, if you're Mookie Betts, right? You got to show up one day.
You got it. Yeah, you got to do something.
Okay, you show up 2 days and what? You pull a hammy?
Maybe.
But why wouldn't you?
But then you're a farce. Then the sport of baseball is now a joke.
But that's what they've made it.
Well, it's great. Everyday action is to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Here's what some of them are. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN, New York. All right, here we are. We've walked right up to it. It is now time for CMT. Rick, the floor is yours.
All right, here we go, fellas. On the heels of, look at Santiago with the music right away, on the heels of an amazing, probably the best ever CMT on Friday from Ray Santiago.
Nobody said that.
I'm going to do my best to compete.
You're being so passive-aggressive. Nobody said it was the best one ever. Perfect. We said it was very well done.
Look at this garbage!
A lot of pent-up rage over the weekend, Dave. A lot of pent-up rage. Can't find the chipmunk, more holes in the garden, but hey, that's my problem. Let's not worry about that. Let's go to CMT today. Cuddle, marry, trash in honor of what we saw last night. 30 for 30, Sosa. And you know what? I felt bad too at a certain point. Did you see on McGuire's 23rd home run, the look on poor, dejected, skinny Barry Bonds' face?
Yes. Skinny Barry Bonds. Little-headed Barry Bonds.
When he's like, what am I doing? Why am I not taking what they're taking? Here we go. Now, the category is, and who knows how many games we'll play, 50, whatever it ends up being, most likely to lead Major League Baseball in home runs this season.
Ooh.
Most likely to lead Major League Baseball in home runs this season. Ooh. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Ready. I'm going to put Canty on the spot right away. Right. Let's on the spot. Make him trash one of his beloved Yankees. I'm going to give you maybe the best player on the New York Yankees, Gleyber Torres, the Kraken, Gary Sanchez, and let's just say, fingers crossed, Aaron Judge's rip heals up in Aaron Judge.
Okay, I hate that you're going to make me do this, but here's what I am going to do. Here's where I'm going. I am going with marrying Gleyber Torres.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry him.
With home runs. I think he's a tremendous hitter. He's got power. He can hit for average. He's going to put the ball in play. So I just like what I've seen from Gleyber Torres and the trajectory of the player. And I don't think that what happened last year was a fluke. And there's a reason why Brian Cashman is unwilling to trade him. So I'm rolling with Gleyber Torres leading in home runs. And I am going to cuddle Aaron Judge.
Bombs and
leading in home runs. It's just, the only question I have about Judge is whether or not he's going to be available. That's the biggest question. It's not about his ability at the plate. We know what he can do. I love his discipline. So I'm going to cuddle that. And I'm going to trash Gary Sanchez.
Look at this garbage.
Even talking about him having the potential to be the best hitter on this team for the last several years, but it never really materializes, and I'm starting to think that it won't. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
All right, let me tag in here. I'm going to also marry one Gleyber Torres.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I mean, he forget about his overall player. He's got a ton of power, and he plays in Yankee Stadium for half his games, which could be up to 25 this season. So I'll marry Gleyber. And this is going to surprise you both, I believe. I'm going to cuddle Gary Sanchez. I mean, at some point, there's obviously a chance he's going to get hurt. But I don't know when or if in a shortened season. So I'll cuddle Gary Sanchez.
Release the Kraken!
And solely due to the rib and constant injury and not knowing how many games I'm going to get out of Aaron Judge, I'm going to trash him because I just
garbage. Look at this garbage.
I just don't have confidence that I'm going to get a healthy Aaron Judge. I'm at the point where I need to see it to believe it. I don't believe it. I'll trash Aaron Judge.
I will say this, though, to your point about injury, because it could be only 50 games, maybe now if you're the Yankees, you don't have to worry about preserving Stanton as much, so you can have Judge do more DHing to make sure he stays healthy.
If he's healthy, though.
Which could be to his benefit. I could imagine by the time they start this thing. If
I
they ever
would
start
hope though. So, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, again, listen, it's not an easy question, so there has to be some kind of reason. I appreciate the reason. All right,
well
here
thought
we go.
Out, yes, well thought out.
Well thought out. I'm going to give you Alex Bregman, Nolan Arenado, And here's a sneaky one. And this is a name that I'm not sure a ton of baseball, you know, people that don't watch baseball on a regular know.
Matt Chapman.
Eugenio Suarez.
Well, he's a big power guy.
He hit 49 home runs last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he plays in a tiny ballpark. I'm gonna marry Suarez.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Well, I mean, listen, he plays in a ballpark that is.
It's a bandbox, yeah.
I mean, it's a bandbox. You can easily hit 40 home runs there. Oh, goodness. I'll tell you why, and I have a rationale behind it. I'm going to cuddle Alex Bregman.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Because the lineup is so stacked that you really can't pitch around Bregman, and I feel like Arenado, and granted, Story's a good player, but I feel like you can kind of pitch around Arenado a little bit. So that's why I'll say he is the guy that I would trash. If I was drafting him solely on who I like the best, Arenado would be married. But in this specific question, I will trash Nolan Arenado.
Wow. Wow.
Crazy. Hey, just quickly to throw into the mix here. This is a question just before Canty makes his decision on both of you. Unintended consequences of what's going on with Major League Baseball and the amount of money being lost. You think we could see a fire sale at some point here? With all these huge contracts,
yes,
yeah, probably.
I mean, if you're a team like the Yankees, I mean, you start looking. I mean, you already heard Arenado's name before. I mean, does Colorado really want to be paying that much money for one player?
Probably not. It's not like they're on the verge of competing.
You build a super team. All right, Canty, what do you got?
All right, I am going to marry. Full blown love. Suarez, you guys mentioned it. He plays in the Great American Ballpark. That thing is a bandbox. So it's no question to me that he's going to have an opportunity to hit a lot of bombs. He hit 49 home runs last year. That's not a fluke. I am going to cuddle Arenado. And although Dave does make a good point that you could pitch around him a lot easier than you could pitch around Bregman, he still plays out in Colorado, yes?
He does.
The ball flies out of the park out there. So I am going to cuddle up to him, and I am going to trash Bregman just because I don't like anything about the Houston Astros.
You play to his heart. I see what you do here.
Yeah, I mean, I like to tickle his heartstrings a little bit. Here we go, Dave. This one's for you.
Okay.
We'll start with you. I'm going to give you the polar bear, Pete Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about the young guns. I'm going to give you Acuña Matata, Ronald Acuña.
Uh-huh.
And Juan Soto.
All right. I'm going to, and I don't think this is Homer. I mean, the guy hit 53 home runs last year.
53, yeah, correct.
Yeah. I would say, again, not the best player of the lot, but as far as solely power, I'll marry. And
if it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Pete Alonso. And then I'm going to go with Acuña. What did he hit? 40 last year or right around there? He's got
41.
Tremendous power. He's maybe the most complete player almost in all of baseball this side of Mike Trout. So I'll cuddle, Mr. Acuña.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And listen, he's a great player. He's an elite hitter. He's a young guy still. But as far as just power, I will trash Juan Soto.
Look at this garbage!
Oh, okay. I'm going to roll with the same exact order Dave did, and it's not that I don't think Soto has tremendous amount of power and that he's not going to grow into one of these guys that's putting up 40, 45 home runs every single year, but I just, for this coming year, you got to go with Pete Alonso and you have to go with Acuña. I'm going to marry Alonso, and I am going to cuddle Acuña.
Tell me, by the way, watching that 30 for 30 last night, the early years of Mark McGwire, Just the mannerisms, like how he ran, didn't remind you of Pete Alonso a little bit?
Yeah, a lot.
Didn't it?
A lot.
59 home runs he hit his rookie year, Mark McGwire.
Yeah, he had so much power. He was a huge
Now they just juiced the baseball. Here we go, last one. I don't know how difficult this is going to be, but I'm going to give you the best of the best. I'm going to give you Mike Trout, Cody Bellinger, and Christian Yelich.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Rick, you know where I'm going with this one. I'm going to marry Mike Trout.
I think
he's the best baseball player on the planet. Now, the only thing that would be even a question about it is whether or not he's going to decide it's worth it for him to come back and play. That would be the only question. But, yeah, I'm going to marry Mike Trout. I am going to cuddle. I'm going to cuddle Cody Bellinger.
Bombs and relationships.
And I know that means trashing and MVP, but the reality is that I really believe in the depth that's in that Dodgers lineup. If all those guys show up to play, Cody Bellinger is going to have a lot of opportunities. He's going to have a lot of baseballs to hit. So I am going to cuddle Cody Bellinger, and I am going to trash Christian Yelich.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Wow. I mean, this really is some kind of question. Mike Trout hit 45 home runs in 134 games last year. You'd be foolish to not marry Mike Trout.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
So that to me is a no-brainer. Bellinger, I believe, hit more, but played in considerably more games and plays in a ballpark that is not as conducive for the home run. But I will still cuddle one Cody Bellinger.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
You guys are crazy.
I'm sorry.
You guys
I
are
love
crazy.
Christian Yelich. I love him. I'd marry him under normal circumstances. These are not normal circumstances. I will trash Christian Yelich.
Ugh.
Firmly. This garbage. Look at this
Could disagree
garbage.
More.
What, you disagree with my order?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to marry Mike Trout. I mean, okay. He's the best unless he decides he doesn't want to show up. But Christian Yelich. I mean, I think Christian Yelich is probably Acuna's
Bellinger
on his way up.
Bellinger had 47 home runs last year.
Yeah, but Christian Yelich hit 44, Dave, and he played in 130 games. Look, what are we talking about here?
I understand that you can have a differing opinion.
He would have won the MVP
but
if he didn't get hurt.
To back-to-back. Come down on me taking Bellinger, I don't think is fair.
No, listen, it's not an easy question. I'm just saying, I would definitely, I mean, at the very least, cuddle Christian Yelich. Mm. Aggressive spooning, even.
Okay.
Aggressive. All right, boys, there you go. CMT for a Monday. Cuddle
there
Mary
we go.
Cash.
All right, let's make him feel good. Rick, that was great. What so much better than last Monday's? Really. I mean, leaps and bounds better than what we saw just 1 week ago. You've come so far in a week, 7 days.
Tremendous. Tremendous, yeah. Dave.
Congratulations. Congratulations to you. Yes, yes, yes.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.